Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Joining us today, we have Karen Legault. With over 20 years of experience in the financial services and banking industry, which includes time with New York Life Securities and Thrivent Financial, Karen eventually transitioned to work with Profinium. She is currently the Vice President of Marketing, where she specializes in training and development, developing strategic systems, and of course, marketing. She volunteers on nonprofit boards to help them strategically develop their public outreach, training, and development programs. As a wine lover and foodie and mom to 2-year-old twins and a wife to amazing hubby, who is both partner and teammate, we welcome to the show. Karen, welcome to the show today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So Karen, I gotta ask, I'm a dad of 4 kids, soon to be 5, but you've got a set of twins, 2-year-old twins nonetheless. How does that work out for you?
You know, when I figure that out, I'll let you know. each day you never know what I'm going to run into. And so it's I'm definitely a planner. So I put as much as I can, plan as much as I can, knowing that some days it might all go out the window and some days it might work, but
you know, that probably
that
probably transitions pretty well over to the business world, because I mean, it's the same exact thing. Like, you make a plan, some days those plans just go right out the window.
And some days they work out beautifully, and it's so cool. And having a plan in place, if like something rails from the plan, like, you know where you can get to hop back on the plan. So again, I'm a huge planner. Makes life easy.
I gotta ask, are they boys, girls, one of each?
One boy and one girl. And they each have their own separate personality. Just making life interesting.
Then we can maybe answer the question, which one's easier as a kid, the boy or the girl?
Oh. You know, if in this very moment, I would say our girl. But if you asked us 3 months ago, I would have said our boy. Like, it is constantly changing.
Yeah. So as I said, Mike, I've got 4 boys and I'm expecting my 5th boy. So we don't have any girls in my family. So it's just utter chaos all the time, running around screaming. It's just so much fun. So to kind of get back on script, I just wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit on that. But to get back on script, I always like to ask my guests when they're first joining the show, how did you get started in the financial sector? So I know you've had a little bit of a varied background. I mean, I was doing some research, I saw that you did photography for a while, but then you also had a chunk of time inside of the financial industry. How did you get started in banking?
Yes. So I would say it was back when I was in college, and I kind of had this thought of, I really hope our generation can get some financial education somewhere down the road. And so that just has kind of always stuck with me, of wanting to be in a position to where I can help influence and create some sort of ability to mentor younger generations through their finances and just help them get on a really nice financial path. So that's always kind of been playing in the background whenever I'm picking a place of where I want to go. The photography piece was a side business that really let my creative outlet kind of take it and run with it there. So that was it, because it does seem a little bit different that there's a photography there and then financial services. But being a creative, photography took care of that passion, and then being able to help mentor younger generations through their financial work was why I went into the financial services.
Well, I would also imagine then that using the creative elements that came with photography really helps in the marketing elements that you're going through now. Would you say that that's an accurate representation?
Oh, 100%. You know, when I came on to Profinium to lead the marketing team, that was taking care of that creative passion inside of things. So I actually felt less and less of the urge to do the photography, which is why I closed down the business. Because if it was in the evenings, I wanted to be doing things that was creating marketing for Profinium. I didn't want to be sitting there editing photos. And so the passion for the creativity piece, I was able to achieve at Profinium without having to go to a different side business to be able to get that passion covered.
Yeah, then that makes complete sense. So then, as the vice president of marketing, what does your normal day look like? What does it generally consist of?
And so to give you the full title, it's Senior Vice President of Marketing Communications and Training. Okay, and the perfect. Reason that I clarify is on any given day, I could be approving an ad for digital advertising. I could be creating a reel for social media. I could be developing a training program. I could be putting together a communication guide for our team if we have a project or a product or service we're going to be launching. And I could be doing any one of those during the day and kind of rinse and repeat. So I could bounce anywhere between any one of those marketing, training, or communication buckets at any given moment during the day.
So it's just switching those hats back and forth.
Yes, which, you know, at the end of the day, you know, in the afternoon, I should say, there are some times where my mind can just be like, oh my goodness. And really having some meditative time, taking that time for that brain to just slow down so I can get back to focus is actually extremely important. And I think that's an important thing for leaders when they're bouncing around on different topics.
Take a moment, pause, break, transition on to the next thing. That's smart. I like that.
Yeah.
So then let's focus on really quick the marketing piece of it, because that's where I'd love to start. We haven't had many people with straight marketing experience on our podcast before. So when you're looking to develop a new marketing program or a new set of ads or whatever, how do you generate those ideas? Is it literally just sit there brainstorming? Do you have like a committee that you work with? What do you do?
So first thing is we take a look at our company's core values, what's our mission statement, and what is that overall brand story that we want to communicate out into the world. That will be the first and foremost things that will dictate what our marketing campaigns look like. From there, that will also determine, again, our mission is achieving dreams together. And so we want to make sure that the messages that we're sending out into the communities showcase either how our products and services will achieve that or how it will make life simpler for them so that they have time to focus on those dreams. We know that just because you open up a checking account, it's not like that dream is going to happen. It takes discipline. Right. It takes work. Whatever that goal or whatever that dream is, there's some work that you got to do to get there. And so we want to make things simple, easy, so you can focus on that. And so that is, again, focusing on our clients first is always at the top of those marketing messages of what are we going to do to be a benefit to them and how can we help them make their dreams come true.
So then you said that really putting customers first and the core values of Profinium at the top of your marketing strategies. Then when you're developing the actual marketing program itself, are you individually developing that, or are you developing that with a team? Like, are there multiple people that you're working with to develop those programs and those elements, or is it just you?
Yep, you bet. So with Profinium, with us being extremely collaborative, one of our core values is teamwork. And so it is definitely not just me dictating, okay, here's what's going to be happening, here's the messaging. We're working with, I'm getting feedback from our senior leadership team and teaming with them on what is our overall strategic plan for the year, working with the presidents in each of our branches to help understand what do they want to drive in their communities message-wise. And each of our communities is different, so working very closely with each president because we're in southern Minnesota, we think they'd all be the same. They all have their own different personalities, right. So we need... each community, I should say, has their own sort of personalities. And so we want to make sure that's being represented. We also take a look at who is our target market. The way we communicate to a farmer is going to be different than the way we would explain that exact same concept to, you know, somebody that's just fresh out of college and getting started. The messaging is the same, but the way that we present that message so it resonates with that target market is going to be different. So it is definitely a collaborative effort. I have an amazing marketing specialist that she give her the plan and let her run with it, and she's hands down amazing. So it's definitely a team effort.
So then let's take it. You've drafted the marketing strategy and program you're going to use. You've got some of those ads generated, and you've gone through that approval process. what comes next? So after you've done all the drafting of the campaign and the ads and everything like that, then what?
So we have a complete checklist. We use a project management software. We can template out what needs to happen with every single ad, especially from a compliance perspective. We have a lot of leeway, as weird as it sounds, as compared to, you know, previous companies that I've been with and and the marketing opportunities we have there. Mm-hmm. So a lot more creativity here, which I know sounds weird, but we still do have that checklist of what do we need to make sure is on there from a regulation standpoint, from a compliance standpoint. So we also work very closely with some compliance businesses so they can see our ad, they can review our ads, they can give us feedback on, yep, regulation-wise, you're great, here's some best practices, here's what we would suggest. And then we also have our compliance team that we work with. Ultimately, compliance and regulation, it's there to protect those clients. And so mm-hmm. for us, we love working with our compliance department because then we know things are good to go. We always got, again, it's we're putting our clients' best interest first. So that's part of that process is we're working with those compliance departments and those compliance companies. So we've got that checklist. Once everything's good to go, if it's something that requires a massive communication out to our teams, we send that out, giving them mm-hmm. the heads up that this is what's going to be launching, this is going to be happening. And then really we just work with our vendors and say, here you go, here's the ad, work your magic and get it out there.
Perfect. So then when you're going through the compliance, I know a lot of times there's kickback about like, hey, maybe consider this as a best practice, or maybe consider like these are requirements, you have to have these, but these are just some suggestions of maybe things you should include. How do you balance, because obviously compliance is all about mitigate risk, but marketing is about generate the sales, right? So how do you ultimately balance the risk and the sales? What, like, do you have something where you, how do you determine which one takes precedence, I should say?
Yeah. Yep. So regulation and risk is going to take precedence over the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. We're going to make sure that we're stay within those bounds. There are some times where I've gone back to our compliance team and been like, oh, really? Are you sure? Is there anything else we can do? Can we try something else? You know, so again, we make sure it's collaborative. There are some times, yeah, I might come back to a little feisty and be like, are you sure? Like, really? But the main goal is that we want to make sure that again, it's our client's best interest first. We're going to stay within regulation. And, you know, a lot of times it's just adding just a sentence or two just to make sure that it's clear for our clients, just to make sure that we're not accidentally saying something that we shouldn't or accidentally misleading them. So a lot of times, you know, when the feedback comes back, I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, we can get that figured out. Let's add that in there. So again, I've been a huge fan of compliance. It keeps legal fees down, so I'm good with it.
Oh, totally does. I really appreciate the fact that you said that you have, well, you didn't say it, but you're implying that you have such a conservative approach that the legal and compliance and the things you have to go comes first, because it really does that. I mean, it's there to protect the bank. So as an attorney, I can appreciate that element. So then let's transition a little bit away from marketing, because you also mentioned that you're the senior vice president over communications and training, correct?
You got
so
it. Yep.
When it comes to training, what is your involvement in developing training programs?
Yes. So I have got a training support, kind of like our marketing specialist. I've got an equally amazing training specialist. And she does such a phenomenal job of getting really hands-on and working with each of our teammates that we bring on, especially on our consumer side. Each time mm-hmm. they come on, she ensures that they're getting the exact same training. And so it's beautiful. I really, for me leading her, it's more like I just need to get out of her way and just let her run with it, which isn't a testament. Yeah, which, you know, and it's a testament to our hiring team, because mm-hmm. we hire the right people here. And so it's the trust is there. I can just say, here's what I need. And this is the end goal. And I know that she's going to get there. So there's that part of it. And mm-hmm. then we've also launched like a junior bank training program. So when we bring on new bankers that are going to be helping grow our sales team, they've got a very specific program that we've designed to ensure that they understand all aspects of areas of the bank before they just jump right into like selling loans and deposits. And so making sure it's that robust training so they understand the culture, definitely need to make sure that they understand the culture that they're coming into. And then for them to see that there is a training plan in place gives them comfort and security of like, all right, I know what's going to be happening over the next few weeks.
So give me an idea really quick. How big is Profinium? How many branches do you have? How many employees are you looking at? How big is it?
Yes. Well, as of now, we've got 4 branches in Fairmont. Well, 4 across all of Southern Minnesota. In Fairmont, Truman, Mankato, and then Owatonna. And we have a total of 85 employees.
Okay. So then do you find most of your trainings, are they going to be more of like a one-on-one type of base, or are you doing more of an online-based platform? How are you distributing these trainings that you're developing?
Yes. it's a combination. We know that, Joanna really enjoys that one-on-one time. She is amazing at really quickly figuring out a person's learning style and adjusting her training as she goes, which is, again, what makes her amazing. Mm-hmm. So anytime we can get in-person training, that's always ideal. However, we know schedules are busy. They're crazy. There's drive time between our branches. And right. So we do have regular weekly things where people hop onto a virtual setting. But we try and make it as interactive as possible. Joanna integrates like these online web games and that sort of thing to keep them engaged. So it's different. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of creating homework and that sort of thing for people to, to figure out and for them to practice what they just learned. The biggest thing is that it's a rinse and repeat. So we don't just have the same training and then say, okay, you're done. But we loop back around and say, okay, how's it going? Let's retrain. Let's refresh. What have you learned since the last time? What's some best practices or best language that you want to share with the team? So that's how we handle some of those virtually. And then when we do get together in person, then we do try and incorporate some live trainings then too. So it's quite the combination, again, just to adapt to all sorts of different learning styles. So those that are audio, visual, mm-hmm. need hands-on, we've got it covered across the training programs.
Perfect. So then when it comes to the annual trainings, because I mean, there's a chunk of regulation that you're supposed to have annual trainings for, right? So when it comes to annual trainings and kind of year over year, how do you find yourself adapting those trainings, or do you just reuse the same training if there's been no regulatory changes? What do you do in regards to that?
Okay, so we do have like some online software programs, and those trainings then get assigned out to our teams throughout the year. We very strategically decide when those get assigned out so mm-hmm. that they're not backlogged and it's not before the deadline, everybody's scrambling to get it done with everything else they have going on. So they have trainings throughout the year. We work again with our compliance department and with HR and say, okay, here are the regulatory trainings. Where are we going to fit these in during the year? So again, our compliance team becomes very collaborative with us. And again, because of our core values of putting people first, when we can get compliance at the table right away, it just makes for a stronger program and stronger results in the end.
That's perfect. Now, do you find yourself changing these trainings year over year, or do you have the same training fairly consistent year over year?
Regulatory, that's going to depend on how the regulations have changed, what has changed. If they have changed, obviously, we're not going to be using the same recordings. For our weekly trainings that we have with our consumer banking, those are going to change based off of the current needs. So we've got it planned out for the next quarter. And when we plan what we'll plan out the first quarter of 2024, we'll start that planning at the beginning of December, and we'll take a look and we'll see where's the team at, where are they needing resources, where are they needing more training, and then that will help us determine what that schedule looks like. So we have some of the common themes and common topics, but we deep dive into those trainings differently each time based off of what they need in that moment.
Perfect. That makes complete sense, because obviously, like, things just don't stay the same, let alone at the same bank, let alone in the industry. So I mean, that's perfect. So then, Karen, we are unfortunately running out of time, but I do want to give you the chance. If you could give one piece of advice to banks today, what piece of advice would you give them?
I would say know your core values and live your core values. And I know that we've heard that a lot before, but when you can run every single decision through your core values, does this fit our core values? You know, here at Profinium, it's people first, teamwork, confidence, accountable, and excel. And when we are looking at doing what's in the best interest of our clients, or we're looking at a way that could possibly bring in more income for us, the first and foremost thing that we do is take a look at that people first. Are we making a decision that is in the best interest of our clients and in the best interest of our team? And if that answer is yes, then that's the first green light that any decision gets to go through. It's got to be in the best interest of our clients. So I would say stay true to those core values, stay true to your mission, and let those two things be at the top of every single decision that you make.
You know what? I absolutely love that. Core values, mission, and people first. That's fantastic. Well, Karen, as I said, unfortunately, we are out of time. Thank you very much for joining us for today's episode.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
For the rest of you tuning in, that's Banking Matters.